Printed on the front of every dollar should be a warning that says, "Handle with care. This dollar may be hazardous to your life. I must never fall in love with money. Loving money is a pathetic misdirection of my affections. Money is only a thing. It is not a person. Money will never love me back. It will never stand by me through thick and thin. It doesn't look for the good in me or make me into a better person. Loving money gets me into trouble because it turns my values upside down. When I love money, I often stop loving people. I start doing things to them to get their money. Cheating and stealing are a result of loving money. Greed takes over when I fall in love with cash. I start looking at the world through dollar sign eyes. I place a monetary value on everything, including my personal relationships. I end up looking into everyone's wallet rather than into their heart. If I love money, I will never get enough. The Bible teaches that wealth is a gift of God, and the ability to enjoy it is an even bigger gift. If I'm good at making money, I will consider it a gift. And if I'm not consumed by the love of money, I will also be given the ability to enjoy it. Everyone wants to know how much money it costs to go cruising. The answer is straightforward. Sailing around the world on a lean and mean small yacht doesn't cost that much. Take a look at the young men running these long-tail boats. They live on a couple of $100 a month. If you eat the same food they do and anchor out in remote patches of paradise, it will cost you about the same for the necessities of life. Lynn and Larry Party wrote a book about self-sufficient sailors who roam the seas in uncomplicated small yachts. The cardinal principle of these voyagers was keeping it simple and having only those things on board that they could fix. They relied on stellar seamanship and a resourceful mind rather than on mountains of cash as they sailed around the world. These frugal sailors worshipped at the altar of freedom. They cruised in affordable yachts to affordable destinations, and they had a rich life. There are expensive high-tech ways and inexpensive low-tech ways of doing things on a yacht. Take security, for example. The first single-handed circumnavigator, Joshua Slocum, had major security issues during his voyage. He placed carpet tacks on deck at night as a low-tech early warning system alerting him to the presence of intruders sneaking on board in the dark. His system worked exceptionally well when hostile people came on his boat at night in South America near the turn of the century. His resourceful mind created a simple but effective alarm that kept him safe. Today, security-conscious cruisers install electronic entry alarms and motion detectors to do the same thing. I think that Slocum's carpet tacks were superior in their ability to discourage barefoot bandits. When I had my Westsail 32, I learned how to steer my 10-ton cruiser using sheet-to-tiller steering. It was exciting to make my boat steer itself without the benefit of an expensive electronic autopilot. Sheet-to-tiller steering cost me only a few dollars to set up. I used an old turning block, some rubber bungee, and a short length of line joining the tiller to the main sheet. More than 20 years later, on board Exit Only, I have an electronic autopilot that costs thousands of dollars and consumes more than 50 amps a day when sailing offshore. The power-hungry electronic autopilot requires either high-output alternators, solar panels, wind generators, or all three to slake its thirst for amps. Today, sailors regard engines as essential equipment for offshore sailing, and I'm inclined to agree with them. Nevertheless, Joshua Slocum, Henry Pigeon, and the Parties all sailed around the world on small yachts without an engine. By all accounts, all three of them had frugal but enjoyable voyages. These exceptional sailors had modest, uncomplicated yachts, good seamanship, endless persistence, and very big dreams. They all proved that you don't need a mountain of money to sail on the ocean of your dreams. It's not the high cost of living, it's the cost of living high that sinks most dreams.